Welcome back to Holy Sisterhood, the podcast. We have some sisters here. Just kidding.
Finally.
Some great people here with us today. My name is Brooklyn. We have my husband, Steven. I talk about you a lot, but you've not been on here.
It was first time, first appearance.
Yeah. And then our friends, Josiah and Paige. And then baby Judah, if you're watching, you can see him. I do suggest watching the video version of this because he is very cute. So there's just that little add-in. But the reason that we are all here today and why there is two couples is because we are going to discuss emotional health within marriage, which I think is very different than even emotional health by yourself. And I know because we've done...
Sorry.
It'll be fine. We've done life together. We're in a life group together. And so I know that we've all walked through some struggles with that and learned, you know, what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves, though? I feel like you don't need to introduce yourself because I've talked about you so much. So that's good. All good things.
You bet. Like she said, I'm Josiah. That's Paige. We've been married 9 years. Have this little guy, Judah. He's 5 months old almost, and then a daughter, Julia, who is 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys do for work?
I'm an engineer.
And I'm a homemaker.
Yeah. And you used to work in early childhood development.
Correct. Yep.
So I love talking to Paige about that stuff too. But so this semester, we've been talking kind of about how emotions were created for good by God to lead us back to him, bring him glory. But that they can obviously be distorted in our fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is, have you found it easier or more challenging to be like emotionally healthy within marriage?
Are you looking at me?
I don't know. Whoever you can answer, it doesn't really matter.
As a private individual, when I was younger, I was always too prideful to reach out or like ask for help or anything like that, which I'm still that way, but I always have the option of confiding in my wife and she's just always there.
Asking.
So, and yeah, she pries it out of me, but before that, you know, no one else ever did. So talking about things and discussing things that were hard for me was way harder with nobody that you were comfortable with until you know, you get married and have your best friend.
The intimacy that you
It's like a different level.
Yeah. But probably no one will ever see other than you.
Yeah.
And God.
And God, yes.
Yeah. You guys kind of agree. Would you agree with that, Josiah?
Yeah, I would for sure. I would say if you talked to me when I was single, I would think that was emotionally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But then just like you said, it's like, I actually didn't really talk about my emotions or
things,
probably acknowledge them as much as I should have.
Mm-hmm. Did we like open up? You're like, whoa, I didn't even know that you could go that deep with emotions. Yeah,
that and like, hey, it's actually okay to acknowledge that you're feeling this way. And like, there's a reason you're feeling that way. And then having someone to talk it through is like a huge blessing.
Yeah. Who also prize.
Who also prize it out of you. We'll help you.
Let me label.
Actually, no, I know that's as far you want to go with it, but we're going far.
Going further. So buckle up.
Yeah.
So actually, like the reason I had you guys come on, specifically the men too, even though this is the Holy Sisterhood podcast or Holy Sisterhood the podcast. I always say it wrong, but is because I do definitely, there's obviously a difference between men's emotions and women's emotions and how we were created by God to display them or use them. So do you think that having like, because in Genesis, you know, he gives the man a helper, his wife, Eve. Do you think that getting married helped you? That's what you're saying, that it helped you get emotionally healthy. That took me a long time to get out, but
no, right? I get what you're saying. That's exactly true.
You guys needed the helper.
The helper, the little even more emotional intelligence.
But then I think, but Paige, would you agree? Like they have also taught us like, or at least in my marriage, like, Stephen's taught me some things really don't need to be a big deal. Or
yes,
not that I wouldn't say I'm like super emotional. Mm-hmm. You agree?
Well, I just, compared I think there's seasons maybe. Where you are obviously just like me too, you know, or seasons where we'll be feeling things way more than we should. Mm-hmm. And then there's other seasons where maybe we're not feeling as much as we should be.
Yeah.
So I feel like you've been a good nice constant. Balance in there somewhere, but I would definitely say that we even each other out pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say that, like, from my point of view, you're very steady.
Mm-hmm.
And that is helpful for me. That's the angle, man. That's all. Especially like in pregnancy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's nice to like have a good solid baseline there.
Yeah. It's trying to be steady even when things are going crazy, where you just gotta lean on God and I think be grounded in prayer. And
you feel that responsibility as husbands, like to be the steady guys? Does that make sense?
I think naturally,
yeah.
If I look, I want to almost get back to that state of just kind of like peace and not tranquility, but just a good state.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned, grounded and like in the moment and walking, you know, walking with Jesus, like intentionally throughout the day. I noticed that can really affect my emotions and how I respond to Paige's or even, you know, Julia's.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm not grounded or in that moment, it's a lot easier for me to let my emotions dictate the whole situation rather than just feeling them and then acknowledging them.
Yeah.
I don't remember what week it was, but on one of the weeks of this podcast, we talked about, I think it was with Tara, about reacting versus responding.
Mm-hmm.
And then how, like, when you are emotionally healthy, you respond intentionally. And that is when they can be used to lead us back to God.
Yeah.
And then reacting is obviously like blowing up or whatever just happens. You're just doing your feelings.
Yeah. Defense.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say it probably comes out different for both of us.
Yeah.
But like when we have that constant or that that time with God and we're walking with him throughout our day, I think it definitely helps the reaction versus response.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you noticed if one of you is emotionally unhealthy, is it harder to keep the marriage in a good space? Do you think? There's no right or wrong answers.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, we've had seasons where like I'm more emotionally not well and like vice versa. But we just handle it differently because of like male black and white versus like the female, the emotions. Also like with like, pregnancies, newborns, things like that. And so like, I think when I've gone through it, like I don't stop talking. I like have to keep talking to it because I have to help. I have to talk through like my emotions. And then I also have to have him help me kind of sometimes give like, not like just validity.
You say you're heard.
Yeah. That I'm heard. Mm-hmm. But then also kind of like that like steadiness, like that we've been talking about, like he like kind of like calms me, like that steadiness back like into it. And that I can like feel these things. But then like now, like what are the next steps? Whereas like you, seasons of you, you get just more quiet.
Yeah. And you're like the blessing you are is you like won't stop asking me or like you care about me enough to like want to know, like, why are you being quiet or what's going on deeper than you just pushing it down or just not acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
You get me through that, I would say, very well.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. And then it kind of goes back to like the helper thing. We just the other day I was telling Stephen because I've just been dealing with like health stuff this pregnancy, you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just feel like I am not heard by anyone. And I was like, except for you, like and God.
Like, yes.
Yeah. He was like, win. Win. Me. Yeah.
It is a win on both sides.
Doing my job,
right? Yeah. Like, thank you for listening because I feel like I'm just not being heard.
And
but
I, from the beginning of it, I was like, I already know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Just know when you need to do it. Because
what do you mean?
Like when he needs to step
making
in.
Making sure you are heard. Yeah. And just, I know it's not perfect yet, but giving you love when you're not feeling loved. Mm-hmm. Just making sure that your cup is full with those things, because this season is difficult. And making sure that I'm doing what I need to do is very important for your health and my health. And yeah, I've had a focus on it, but you know, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, we're like a great 100%. Example of if one of us is emotionally unhealthy. I wouldn't say I'm like emotionally unhealthy right now, but definitely have bigger emotions, mm-hmm. and I don't feel good a lot.
Yeah,
so that's
and that plays into it. That plays into it.
So then I guess you have been like taking like over. So, and that's kind of what you were saying. Like you guys, if one of you is emotionally unhealthy or in a harder season, then the other balances it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about when we're both emotionally unhealthy?
Yeah, that's just a recipe for chaos.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, it's super fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Like who is going to tap out first?
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. I wasn't saying it, like we kind of went through it where we both were, but because of like what was causing it, I mean, I feel like we were still able to really like, I don't know, like our strengths within like the time of our weaknesses still really like helped each other, support each other like through that. Like it made it, it was heavy what we were going through, but because we had each other, we were able to like not make it lighter, but the burden was lightened.
Yeah.
Shared, lifted. Probably.
Yeah. Shared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And I think we do a really good job. Dude, I just grabbed you that. I think that we do a good job of, we do a lot of things not good. So I'm not like pumping us up too much, but of like one of us will be like directing the other back to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Maybe if our eyes are more focused on the circumstance at hand or the world, I think we kind of take turns being like, okay, but let's zoom out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But in like those seasons of emotional where both of you are like not doing the best, because hard things happen and there's no way around it and it affects your marriage because it's hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What would be some like practical things that you guys have done, or you have any examples of ways that others could maybe learn from? So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think.
Okay. You want me to go?
You bet. That's fine.
Okay. I would definitely say though, like what I was just saying, the one thing that really is helpful is pointing back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we're both having a hard time with something, like, let's see, like, I don't know, like Quinn's birth was really hard. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just important in those really hard times to, just keep on pumping each other towards God.
Yep. And that was like a huge eye opener for being, we were very young in our relationship.
Yeah, that was hard.
Very immature and like didn't really know what to do in situations. And so it was all a huge learning curve. And I think we did the best that we could, best that we could with what we had. And it ended up, I mean,
now looking back, we would do it so differently.
Oh, yeah. We ended up coming out of it fine, but I was like, oh boy. Wow.
Not without some bumps and bruises.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Some learning things. Bloody noses.
Because we had a relationship with God then, but it definitely over the last 7 years has gotten so much deeper.
Mm.
And I know we would handle it different.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really wanting to talk about like where in our relationship, in those hard times, we can use our emotions in a healthy way to direct us back to God instead of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's really easy to, as you guys know, like to be led by emotions in hard times, which you guys are probably a little bit better at not being led by them. Would you think or no? In different ways.
Certain times.
I think not surface level, but maybe underneath surface level, we're probably still influenced by them.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially in hard times.
Yeah. And men are taught a lot differently, I feel like, than women.
Like push them down or
like one thing that I was thinking about when preparing for this podcast was that in our generation of like dads and husbands, I at least feel like the husbands and dads are more present or more vulnerable, or it's like safer for you guys to share emotion. And like, you guys get time off work after having a baby. Like, I feel like dads, there's just a different level right now. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? What's your experience like growing up? And you guys agree, or?
For me, I would say my dad was that way. He was very involved. I mean, he still is very involved in my life, and was very active in like my discipleship, my formation, I guess. And so it's more of kind of following in his footsteps, and fortunately being able to think back on what he did and then mimicking that. I mean, I do changes here and there, but I mean, everybody does that, but it's not such a drastic, like, I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm going to do the opposite. My dad did this. I'm never going to do that. It's like, I don't have that. So I think I've been very fortunate.
You're individualizing your fatherhood based off of your dad.
Was he vulnerable?
Yeah. I mean, at times, I mean, not, obviously not as much as
the generation right above them. I mean, and like nothing against them at all, but they, because that was like Great Depressionist-ish, right? Like
coming out of that. And like they were kids in the Great Depression.
So they were very like resilient and didn't really show emotion. About it. Like my grandma and grandpa don't really. So that is cool that he still was.
Yeah. And
like,
I think
his dad was that way, right? Like, his dad
was very, I can see like even from my grandpa, like what I remember interacting with him, he was also
community.
He was the one, like, I go to their house, or we, when we travel to their house, there'd be five of those broilers with just food in them for like all my dad's brothers or brother and sisters, and then like the neighbor. Like, he was the guy that wanted to feed everybody and just make
your
sure
grandpa
everybody
was. So yours is like, you
kind of generation.
That's so cool.
That
is
cool.
My dad was the one who had to break the generational you know, the curse, chain, I guess.
Which is such a hard...
His dad would always say, I will do everything different than what my dad did. So I thought that was...
And so what was your experience?
Yeah, so he led by that experience, and I think he did a fantastic job not having a figure to learn from, but doing the best he could with what he had. And it turned out that that worked really well for him. And I think I have a great platform to work off of. And it's just so cool to be able to have that kind of victory story from him.
Like the generational change that forever impact of it.
That was perfect.
Yeah. That's so cool. I think it's really unique though. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just was under the impression, I guess, that a lot of, and maybe it was one generation up, not our like parents, but one up where they're like, don't cry, rub dirt on it. Or was there something?
I think they're still that way. Like, you know, by like a health, like it wasn't like, I heard my dad say, I love you one time when I, you know, it wasn't like that, but they're still that, like instilling that masculinity.
That's what,
like,
I think.
It's still there. It just maybe healthier.
Much healthier, more constructive, and more of a learning experience than a mental beatdown.
You didn't get hit with belts.
I did, but it was, you knew exactly what you did wrong. And this is the consequence.
It's Friday afternoon.
You get a whoop.
Which, I mean, that was probably really some people's experience. So
I'm sure it is.
And it's like, part of the broken.
But just like your dad did.
Being able to rise up from it. That's a victory story. In the making.
Yeah. And I even feel like even in our marriage and our discipleship of our children, we have changed some things and broken some chains. And then my prayer is just like every generation gets, you know, closer and closer to God and
brings the kingdom. Actively bringing the kingdom.
So that's really cool. So one of the questions that I wrote down was, bringing things into the light is so important. So it's kind of, we're taking a hard left here. So, you know, things that we're struggling with, like serious, I'm not even thinking like, well, I feel sad today. I'm thinking like hard things, you know? So bringing things into the light is so important. And we're called multiple times in scripture to confess to one another. What has that looked like for you in your marriage? And then how have you seen fruit from it?
Speaking for me personally, I don't know if it's like the, like going back to like what we talked about at the very beginning of, oh, I'm emotionally healthy as a single guy, you know, like not knowing anything. It's that can be hard to, be vulnerable like that without like being intentionally saying like, no, I need to bring this, or no, I trust her, you know, to the point where I can reveal everything, like my heart, all my heart. And then it's just like the, like how everybody says, like it's better out in the open than
in the dark.
In the dark. And she's generous and gracious and loving. And it's like, why didn't I do this right away? And like just having the love and comfort of my wife is like amazing in those.
In moments.
It's part of that process of, you know, the growing the intimacy, just ever increasing that intimate bond that we have. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I think it's obviously very important to like confess it and speak it out to God. But like I said, in the Bible, we are called to confess to one another as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason behind that. And I think it is because, yeah, once you bring it into the light, the enemy has a much harder time using it against you. For sure. You have accountability. And like in our marriages, they're supposed to represent the church, right? In Christ, seeing like, okay, if I confess this thing that I feel terrible about, and my wife or my husband still loves me, it's a good representation of that as well. Mm. Have you, in the moments that Josiah is talking about, like when it's really hard and then he confesses something or says something, is it hard for you to be gracious and loving or no?
No, no, I mean, like it melts you because then you see him as like the human, your spouse, your best friend, rather than like the enemy or just, you know, stubborn. I don't know. It completely just like makes everything just so, I want to say naked.
He's exposed, vulnerable, and I feel
the last thing I'd want to do for sure to him is then like kick him while he's down, which he's not. Talking about your emotions, how you're feeling is not a bad thing. I think our world, there's so much confusion on emotions, I feel like,
on
right
both
now.
Both sides, yes. Right? Like too far one way or the other.
Like you're too emotional. It's like, no, there's beauty in that. He tells me I'm emotional, but like it's something God, like it's how God created me. There's beauty in it. It's like what you said. It's like, are you going to respond or react?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where it can get messy. But
yeah,
I lost my train of thought, but
I think that's really good.
You're very gracious.
Yeah. And like you said, what you don't want to like kick them when they're down, but like, for you, when you've like said, when you've admitted something to me, or even like if we were just having a rough week and you came to me and I was probably mad at you before. Like, so, okay, this is going to be a crazy example, not crazy, but an example. It's probably happened. I don't know. Anyway, like say you were being really like rude to me all week and taking things out on me and it really hurt my feelings and we don't talk about it. And then I get, you know, hurt by that and then I resent you. But then if you come to me and are like, I've noticed that I've been this way to you and it's not right and you deserve like more than that and I want to love you like Christ loves the church. When you admit it, it does. It like opens up a space where you're like, okay, like, thank you. Yeah. And you are a human and you do mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's hard to remember.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Especially because like the world again is so like about me and what's best for me and like you wronged me.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's like the difference between like a contract. I was reading about like the difference, but like a contract is like, it's going to benefit one or the other, like there's benefits from it. And that's like the end goal where the covenant, it's like, how can I
the promise, right?
Serve you, love you, do this.
Yeah, it's not I'm talking about what I get in return. Yeah. It's just about
you, about the opposite person, your person.
Yeah.
And so like, that's like where I feel like one of like the, it's like, oh yeah, this is the covenant. Like we, there is grace and forgiveness and like there's beauty in the broken because you're going to be there to love me when I'm broken and I can share that with you.
And be a real raw example of Jesus too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that's a, sorry, do you think that is like a, something like as an image bearer, like specifically women are, you guys are gifted with that, like just the, when, especially when like your husband or maybe your son or a, and another woman, you're immediately ready to like, oh, I'll be there to protect you and, or maybe not protect, but very gracious and loving convert or immediately switch to loving and seeing that person, like you said, like the nakedness or
everything. When like, they confess.
Or when they, God has when given they confess us. Or when they like, even, or when I was saying like, just bring up like, hey, I'm feeling by just like a negative emotion. And like, we're into that. And like, is that something that God has given you guys like innately?
Right. It seems to be the general, like obviously everybody is different, but the general, I think consensus is like women are nurturers, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's how they were created for the most part. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do you feel like it was a gift from God?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, just like just seeing roles where you look at like, you know, like my parents or like your parents or like just like, I guess parents with both a dad and a mom, you definitely see that, like the benefits of having like both, but like why like the mother's emotion is just so like, it is important to have that, to bring that in. I think like just, it just reflects, I think like Jesus, like the loving kindness, like Jesus was kind and loving, like brings that, I feel like earth side. Yeah. Yeah.
And then like as husbands, and again, generalized, but sometimes tough love is what we need. And sometimes God does give us, you know, some tough love, like, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to walk through this consequence now. Mm-hmm. And I love you. And that's why I'm letting you do it, child. But I mean, it feels a little harsh, but I think you guys are good, or husbands in general, again, it's not everybody, but are good at like knowing when, at least Stephen with Quinn, I'll be maybe over nurturing sometimes.
That was one of the examples that came to my mind.
And then you can be like, no, this is what she needs, like this structure.
And then vice versa, I can be really hard and harsh on her, and then you'll come in and be like, dude, you need to chill out because he needs some love and affection.
That's not how I say it. And, we're back to the cool
guys. She'll remind me that even though, you know, she's younger, she still has big emotions as well.
Right.
And it's like you get practice all over the house. You know?
It's weird because with Quinn and Porter doesn't really have like elaborate emotions because he's 1.5. But Quinn... I feel like my heart can feel her heart. Like it sounds so weird, but like, I'm like, I know what you're feeling right now.
If those two, like if our oldest Julia, who's 3, and him, they're having their moment and she's crying and he's redirecting her. Like, I'm like out there like, oh my gosh, her poor heart.
Yeah.
And he's not yelling at her or anything. I mean, cause he's not a yeller by any means for any of that. But like, even just his tone will change. And she just, I'm like, oh, my sweet Julia, like her heart, it like almost makes me think of me as a little girl when my heart was sad.
Sometimes it's necessary.
We feel it. And then we're like, all right, we need to go into this zone of being a loving father. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, right now is the time.
And that's what's crazy. Like, our little girls, because I've seen Quinn too, they'll like, loves you. Julia loves you. And so it's not broken, but I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I know. It's just so hard because it's so different than what we would do.
Yeah.
And like sometimes, I do talk to you later and say like, hey, let's think about it this way.
Yeah. But
there's a
sometimes
lot.
Sometimes we need a lot of guidance because we don't get it right all the time.
But then there's like a lot of times that I probably don't even talk to you about it because there's a lot of times when I'm listening or like watching and I'm like, no, God gave Quinn this father mm-hmm. for a reason. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. he knows what he's doing. Like this, he's doing it from love, even if it doesn't sound like super loving in the moment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times I just have to
bite your tongue.
Quiet. Yeah. It's hard. But.
Yeah. And yeah, but you want to stay, show, yeah, like you're a front, you're together.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And that's the
for sure. So if a couple was listening that was in a hard place and a cycle that feels like they just can't get out of it, like a cycle meaning, how would you describe a cycle? We're reading a book right now where they have a cycles in it. Crazy Love and Respect by Emerson Eggert. Sure, however you say his name. Eggert. I don't know.
I don't know.
Egg something.
Will you describe a cycle?
Yeah, to me, I would say a cycle is, you know, the build up, then the conflict, whatever that looks like. Then there's maybe a fizzling out, but there's, and then it's like kind of almost to the build up again, or it's like, you're not, I'd say out of the woods, or you're not mm-hmm. to a point of reconciliation with space before you start going on that again. Like there's no breaks.
It's like a cycle of arguing or fighting, right?
Yeah.
And like in his book, in Emerson Eggerichs, how do you say that?
We're just going to go.
Okay. We'll say it different every time. And one of the times we'll be right. I think he talks a lot about like how women desire love and men desire respect. And when a woman feels unloved, she's disrespectful to her husband. And then the husband feels disrespected and then is unloving to his wife. And then obviously that just continues over and over. So that kind of, as we've been reading that book and I've been talking about emotions on this podcast, I've been thinking about how a lot of that is like just miscommunication.
It is, yeah.
And also not communicating our feelings and not even maybe being like rational or feeling our feelings in a healthy way.
Yeah.
They're kind of like directed at the other.
Yeah. Or even understanding the desires of the other, like the love or the respect, right?
Yeah, because we've had a lot of conversations about like in our group that we're reading this book with about whether women desire love or respect.
Yeah. And, yes, we have.
Yeah, we've had a lot of really hard conversations about it, but and like also unconditional love and unconditional respect and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you guys, I forgot where I was going with that.
Where, how, like, what would we like tell people? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say like an example for a husband, one being grounded or rooted in Jesus. I mean, I know that's like cliche. It's like, oh, just be grounded in Jesus. Everything's going to be all right. You know, like,
it does help.
In the sense that you get your identity from him and what he has done for you. So much more so than from your wife or your relationship status or anything like that. And then from that, you're able to then see past the whatever that conflict is, or however you're being presented with, maybe as for the guy, probably with a more emotion than you like.
Yeah.
You're able to see through that and see to the, like they're just crying out for love
mm-hmm.
or respect, or really just wanting you to communicate with them and get to the bottom of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to do that unless you are very intentional and are continually renewing your mind about who you are in Christ and then what you're called to do, which, you know, die to yourself for your right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, but
I think especially too, again, like our world is so much about self, self, self. And there's even like Christian authors out there who still aren't depicting that, like writing about that, like dying to yourself. It's still about like, well, how he wronged me or she wronged me, you know, like they wronged mm-hmm. me. And so there's this. And so like why it's so important to be grounded. Like it is cliche, or you can say it is, but like it truly is, because there's like even very deceiving things out there that you're like, oh, well, that's like a Christian author, or they say they're Christian, or this person says they're Christian. So what they're saying is going to be helpful right. and lead us back to the covenant or like what that is. And
it can be the opposite.
It can be the opposite. Yeah.
So hard, because yeah, like I said earlier, like the enemy takes things that God intended for good, mm-hmm. uses them bad for bad. So like boundaries, even mm-hmm. boundaries can be good, mm-hmm. But then they can also be super selfish if mm-hmm. you don't align them with scripture. Right. Feelings yeah. can be good, mm-hmm. and sex, like anything, yeah, anything, if it's not mm-hmm. aligned with scripture,
yeah,
is not good. So I think being grounded in scripture is like huge. Mm-hmm. But like in the book we were reading, I really liked how just recently, we just had a meeting yesterday. He talked about how when women are communicating their feelings, mm-hmm. men can feel like they're being held in contempt. Mm-hmm. And in our heads, we're like, we're just trying to help our marriage. Mm-hmm. This is what is going to make our marriage better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our heart for it yeah. is yeah. to help our marriage, and communicating mm-hmm. will solve the problems and then we'll be good. And that's like what we think. But to you guys, it feels like she's critiquing me and holding me in contempt. Is that true? Have you guys felt that way?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's almost like going back to emotions. And sometimes if you start and lead your conversations with the same emotion that you had felt when you got hurt, I don't feel like that is a good place to start, because mm-hmm. it's hard for us to hear past the loud emotions that you are telling us. And so it's like, all right, we need to get to a base level to figure out what the problem is before I have a problem with the way that you're
communicating.
Presenting.
Yeah,
this problem to me, it's like, it's just that, and that's another thing.
Been a real big thing for us lately.
That's been huge, yeah.
Like, I feel like you've told me that a lot the last like month. Like, okay, but you need to not like be at a 10 right now.
Yeah. And, but that goes for the men too, having grace with that mm-hmm. and just not assuming that she is attacking you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really, really hard to get through. It's,
but I could see that though. Like, honestly, it hasn't been clicking with me until now.
Glad I could.
I'm
help.
Just like, why do you keep saying that?
Yeah.
But I can see, like, if I'm at a 10 and I'm coming at you with all this emotion.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, I'm just feeling right. the way that I'm feeling, and I'm
and
explaining
he's a safe
that
place,
to you,
so you can yeah. do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I also could understand how it would be hard to receive that, and not feel like mm-hmm. it was at yeah. you.
Yeah, and like, the emotions and the tone will speak louder than the words that you're saying almost. Oh, yeah.
Always, it, yeah.
What's so hard for me is I just don't hear the tone.
I know. But
I don't know.
That's the best way that I feel like I can explain it to, I mean, help anybody to understand, you know, that there is both sides of it, of course, you know.
Well, I've been convicted, and I wrote down two different proverbs, but they're about wives, and one is, a quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. No, impossible. Like, so there's like no self-control there, which is a fruit of the spirit. And then the other one is, better to live in a desert with a quarrelsome than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which,
like, yay to us.
But it's probably true. It, like, yeah, it's no, yeah. not... Go. It's not helpful to have a quarrelsome, so what, argumentative?
Yeah, argumentative.
Looking to fight. And then
yeah,
nagging.
I had to look it up because I wasn't exactly sure on the quarrelsome. But yeah, mm-hmm. I basically said argumentative mm-hmm. and looking for a fight
no.
is what the kind of the description of that word was. But I was like, mm-hmm. there's several different ways you can look at it.
What's hard is that's probably not often our intention.
No.
But yeah,
no.
It's no. definitely, no. I feel like it's definitely a little bit dramatic.
Well,
sense,
there's probably but, like, that's probably out there.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm not no. being like proud, but I think that if you do align yourself with scripture and pray and truly have like heart after God and try your best to be obedient, you're probably not super quarrelsome on purpose.
Yeah. yeah. I think yeah. like, I think like us, when I'm probably more of a like quarrelsome, argumentative one, it's because you're not hearing me. Mm. And so I'm not like, I need to speak like this, because then
and it's
he
not
will.
The first time
right.
Probably that's been brought up.
Right. It's my emotions. It's our emotions that, or my emotions and that. But as soon as like you hear me, or as soon as, you know, like you guys bring that like steadiness, mm-hmm. you gotta remind, like, we're on the same team here. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't, like, you know, you like calm me down and it's like, okay, yeah, like, thank you for helping me do that. Okay, let's have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I usually feel like that's kind of like the breakthrough when we're finally like, okay.
I would say, I think that there's a proverb, like, if you're here, there's an escalation, and then it's either your choice to either respond to to keep escalating, or for like the husband to sit in it and listen and see through it, which is incredible. I mean, it's a learned thing, right? But then it has a de-escalating effect on the situation. And then it's not always going to be, oh, de-escalate, but as long as you're taking escalating. That, you're not, it's not here to here to here, you know?
And that's partially what I think what Emerson meant by taking the hit in the, in the book. It said, you know, as gentlemen, we are, basically called to, by children of God to, and then he had to fill in the blanks, and it was to take the hit.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the hits you have to take in order to, you know, de-escalate.
Yeah.
And
it's just our bird. I mean, air quotes burden, but it's like our mantle to carry.
Responsibility almost, our jobs. Mm-hmm.
And I think like as like wives talking our husbands through that, you know, too, like, I think like, I keep saying like black and whiteness, but sometimes, I mean, like, how are you guys supposed to know? You know, like, this is why we're doing it. I mean, yeah, you do learn for sure, but I'm saying even at like, over and over, because seasons change and you grow as people and you grow in a relationship, but like also like, it's like, we're a team. So it can be also on us to like, tell you like, hey, you're not listening, or I don't feel like you're listening, probably better, but you know, like us talk to you, because you're like, your guys's relationships with guys doesn't go like that. And so now you're faced with us who like want to talk it out. And so, and it's not that you don't want to do it.
It's like, you don't know how sometimes. Yeah.
This is a brand new concept.
But I think that brings us to a good place of like, for one is knowing the heart behind. So both of us, like, we have to know that our husbands, and this is generalized, there are certain, I always have to like put a caveat, there are certain marriages and relationships that are very unhealthy and that need outside help. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're talking about here. But in like general, knowing the heart behind your spouse is not to hurt you, but it's for good, most likely, even when it doesn't feel like it.
Right. I think that's where like the covenant again is just like so important, because that's like the umbrella over us. And so like we can take blows and we're going to have hits, but we are, like you said, like seeking the best for each other, or like seeing each other as, I'm trying to like the right wording, but like
the commitment you have.
Yeah. The commitment. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Going back to, like that commitment that I made to you, the commitment you made to me, that like till death do us part.
Yeah.
Through the good, through the bad.
And as like, image bearers of God, right? I think John Tyson, he said, if you view sin as something that is not from the devil, but as something inside of people, you'll start demonizing others. And so like, especially inside of your marriage, there's a lot of sins against each other in it, right? Like if you view that as, oh, that's that person versus that, no, that's part of the war we're in.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's,
it changes how you view them.
Yeah. That's hugely relatable. Cause in some situations I'll make up a scenario in my mind. Well, what if I were to, you know, tell Brooklyn how I'm feeling? And then in my mind, I'll make up the scenario where it just doesn't go right at all. And like, I'm in the wrong. And like, so like, then I'm already resenting her for this, and we haven't even spoken. So I've noticed that just within the last couple months, and I've had to talk myself out of some of that time, and sometimes I can't really do it. But that was, I got convicted with that one day. I was like, why are you making this up in your head? It's not even real.
She didn't even do that. But there is, that's a good point though, is there is like a real attack on marriages and family.
Yeah, because if you break that, then the next generations are broken.
Mm-hmm. So you do have to like stand firm and strong and rely on God.
As long as you can break that cycle of thinking about it, because the more you think about it, the more you're going to dwell on it. And, you know, the more negative is going to come from it too. So,
yeah,
I've been.
Another practical thing we do is like we say like we're on the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells me that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll like that's literally say it. And sometimes I don't like believe it, but I'm like, we're on the same team. Yeah. We're on the same team. We're on the same team.
And like, and it takes time. Certain fights last a little bit longer than others. But I mean, at the end, like I always tell them, like, I don't ever want to fight with anyone but you.
Yeah.
Like you still make me feel so safe. Mm-hmm. Even within like when I am angry.
What do you think about the verse that says, do not go to bed angry?
I'm
genuinely curious.
So I would be able to just go and go and go. And he'll be able he'll just fall asleep. And it's just because he can't take it.
You need space.
Yeah, it's the space. Yeah.
Yeah. Like process, because you're an internal processor.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if I go to bed angry. I just
go to bed.
Yeah. You just go to bed. Like, and that's a good point though.
I'm not angry. I just can't.
You can't do it anymore. Yeah. Right now. You're done. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's the dread of waking up and dealing with it all over again in the morning. It's like
exhausting.
That's why I don't like to do that.
Yeah. Me either. I'm like, let's get it done.
Yeah. Let's just talk through this.
Yeah.
And And then a lot of times you also demonize just the conversation itself because you don't like communication.
Yeah.
Which is something we're working on too.
Yeah.
But
there's a quote in one of the bathrooms here. That's why I was on my phone, but it's from Tim Keller. And it says, people are messy, therefore relationships will be messy. Expect messiness. And I feel like after I read that, I was just like, whoa. And like all relationships, whether it's like friendships, family, spouses, like it's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Also, we're not perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's like helped. I feel like me this past like year, I don't know. It's been like, wow. Okay. Like don't expect perfection from anyone. No one is perfect. No one's relationships are perfect. And like just focusing, not like focusing on imperfections, but like, it's okay to have your imperfections in your marriage or your relationships. Like that's expected.
How you deal with them is what's going to make the difference.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm a perfectionist and my favorite verse is, that his power is made perfect in our weaknesses. And I remind myself of that all the time.
That's good.
But I also think about that, like even with you personally or in our marriage, like those hard times, it is a place for his power to be made perfect. It does allow a gap for that.
Mm-hmm.
If we invite him into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like, so prayer, like that's another way that we fight against, you know, the battles against the enemy. I would say it's one of the biggest ways.
Yeah.
You guys. Yeah.
Well, just like for me personally, prayer is like a safe place, a vulnerable place. And if you're in the midst of like reconciliation, but you're not quite there yet, or you're in the midst of an argument and you guys are just at each other's throats, prayer is a place where you both can come together and help fill that gap of oneness just a little bit quicker. I mean, I think it helps out tremendously.
For me, I always feel like when we're fighting and we stop to pray, it's like, because we always hold hands.
Yeah.
So it's like
we'll have to try that. That's really good. That's good though.
It is.
No, that's good though.
It's like what you do with like two kids that aren't getting along.
Yeah.
It feels that way.
But it does. But by the end of the prayer, so for the whole illustration in my head usually is like we're holding hands and then we're like going before God and his throne.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like no longer important. Like, like God is important and it humbles both of us. Mm-hmm. We're both in the same boat here.
Yeah. We're both intimate, vulnerable
being
place.
Jerks to each other.
That's cool.
Like
that's what people should say rather than like, if you're going to fight naked. I hate that quote so much.
Yeah.
But that's good
though.
If you're
going to fight in front of God.
Yeah. Like that is so good though. Like how good is that? Like that's so much more real.
Yeah.
Because obviously for sure, if I'm angry at you, I'm not going to be even more naked. I'm already mad and I'm not going to, you know. Right. Obviously I understand what it's getting at, but I'm not going to do that. But to actually like just bring it to God. Like that is, I love that. That's actually really cool.
We like, I've never thought about it. It just feels very vulnerable. Like
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But then you're together. Both being vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're together.
And you can feel the change in your heart and your mind at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, all right, this is a place where you love each other.
We're both sinners.
Yeah, you're both sinners. Yeah, you're equals.
Exactly. And
you're equals in that sense.
It almost restarts that argument that you were failing at before.
Yeah.
In a healthier way.
Bring it back.
In proper light.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Would you say that's a good advice for like newlyweds?
I was thinking.
Like we've talked about, like, or in our group, we've talked about, like, we should have post-marriage counseling rather than premarital. Like it's like so much, like 3 months in, you're like, oh wow, none of this I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years in, you learn, like, and over the time we've learned, I'm sure you've learned, like, how to properly interact, like, through emotions and all that. Would you say that's a it may be a thing that it can give you a little leap ahead in the learning?
For sure. I was surprised to know, and not in like a bad way or a judging way at all, but that a lot of couples don't pray together, or that it's hard. But then I think back and I'm like, yeah, it really was hard.
Yeah, we didn't.
At the beginning,
we didn't pray together for years. Yeah. I think.
But then even when you do it, like the first few times,
it's very uncomfortable.
It feels scary. Yeah.
And scary. It's like,
because you are being vulnerable, or
well, and that's the thing too, though. Like, if you're feeling uncomfortable, then you haven't let them into that space before, which I think that's like a problem of itself as well, because that's the spiritual space together is something that maybe even before marriage that you guys should have shared.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
it's something you learn as you go. Yeah,
it's definitely something you learn as you go, but like that should almost be like one of the first things.
Yeah.
No, I know you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Cause also it's like, man, if you want to know your spouse's heart, pray with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's
sure. And it does like, that's reveal the good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause Stephen's never praying, like, make Brooklyn know that she totally messed up.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Help her not be so quarrelsome.
Yeah.
That's not what he prays.
No. Mm-hmm. And that gives you the opportunity to actually pray truth and not, not the.
And it's inviting the Holy Spirit in to reveal truths too in a loving way.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, you guys, we've kind of hit a wall with time, but do you have anything else that you like feel like you want to add or that somebody should know? Something important?
Man, I mean, I think like from our life group, just seeing everyone, I think like whether you're like, in the beginning of your marriage, in the honeymoon phase, or you're hitting a low spot, like I would say more maybe, I guess, like hitting a low spot. It's like, that's okay. That doesn't mean your marriage is done or wasted or it's bad. Because that's like where growth happens. Like you talked about, there's so much growth in that, and that just like, there's beauty in that for sure. And fight through that, like fight for your marriage and fight hard. Cause when you're on the other side, you're going to be better off and you're going to have, a great testimony and be able to help others out, but also like you'll be able to look back and be like, wow, like look what God did.
Yeah.
You won. Cool. Like we won.
So good. Yeah. And so encouraging. And you're right. Like when I think back to the hardest moments we've had, I wouldn't have chose to walk through them, but I did.
Right. But you did.
But they're like what I'm actually like most grateful for, because God did show up the most. Yes.
And I think like
in those places
we get like, I don't know. I just feel like, or at least what's loud to me right now is just like how marriage relationships are just looked at like, yeah, like a contract or just a relationship, to where it's can be like, well, this isn't serving me. This doesn't feel good. My heart is hurting. I'm done. And it's not that. Like, that's like, I like,
yeah,
it, like you said, you wouldn't choose to walk through it, but like the beauty in that, like I can be the ugliest person ever and Josiah sees that, and yet he still chooses to love me. And like, that is like the best thing ever. Like I would love for everyone to experience that, because it's amazing to be able to, but also
it's not done without trials. And still even now it's still not perfect.
It's not perfect.
We're not in heaven yet.
But I mean, like that, I think like that's my biggest thing. Like we're talking about like the post-marital counseling.
Sure.
Just to be like, oh yeah, okay.
That makes sense now.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And we got
I actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. In premarital counseling, you're just like, oh yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That might be I'm going to be the most submissive wife ever.
Yeah. We don't even have emotions. It's never going to get out of hand. No. It's fine. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I had fun with you guys. Thank you.